Today I want to talk about your doing and your value. In order to effectively participate in the U.S. economy, or any economy on the planet for that matter, your doing has to have value that can be recognized by other people and exchanged for other value, namely money. In the U.S., there are safety nets that are set up already, such as welfare, Section 8, Medicaid, Medicare, SSI, and unemployment insurance. While these programs keep people alive financially, their participation in these programs probably doesn't feel like success that builds their self-esteem and their sense of them. We need to express ourselves. We need to express our talents, our skills, our intelligences. The key, in an economic sense, is to put ourselves in a position to be paid for this expression, which we're going to enjoy. One challenge to recognizing our value and exchanging it is that we are lousy judges of ourselves. We can overestimate our value, and we can underestimate our value. It would be better to allow the market to judge our value. The market renders its verdict ultimately by the number of purchases and purchasers. If we're hired, we can expect that somebody has recognized our value. If we're not hired, then they didn't recognize our value. If we were judged harshly as children, we probably would have learned how to judge ourselves harshly, as if self-abuse is going to force us to become more successful, better, more upright citizens. And if our doing was made wrong by us or by others, it will be more difficult to take the actions that would make our value available to others. The foundation of high-value doing is our being. If we feel or think we are small, insignificant, weak, we will have trouble taking actions that we feel or think are big, significant, and powerful. They are just not going to resonate with us or us with them sufficiently for us to take those actions. As astronauts know, without something to push off from, movement in a state of weightlessness is awkward. Without a clear sense of our own beingness, we can feel like imposters trying to fake it until we make it. Without that sense of beingness, we're not going to have firm ground to stand on. I said earlier that we're lousy judges of ourselves because it's easy to get stuck in a view of ourselves that is from one moment in time, from one experience in our lives. This can narrow and shorten the view of what should be an expansive understanding of ourselves as we grow and develop in life. However, this narrow view of us and the world is a hindrance. Years ago, I worked in Yellow Pages advertising in sales and sales management. And as a new sales representative, I was frequently amazed by the businesses I encountered. The thought, "I didn't know you could make a living doing this," came to me repeatedly. I realized then, and it's still true, that I see the world and the world of possibilities from the viewpoint of a boy who grew up in a small village of 1,500 people. To think that the world's population is just like me is a self-defeating view. How could I possibly know what 7 billion other people value? That's impossible. The real hope that you and I have is to discover the doing that produces value, is to know who we are, who we be, and then enjoy the forms of expression in our doing that provides the most joy that we will allow. A common viewpoint is, if I have enough, fill in the blank, I will be happy. Oftentimes it's money. If I have enough money, I will be happy. If I have enough clothing, I'll be happy. If I have enough cars, houses, material things, I will be happy. Less common is, if I do enough, fill in a blank, I will be happy. If I write another book, if I make another presentation, if I go to a meeting, if I create a webinar, if I do, I will be happy. And the least common, but most important, if I be enough, fill in a blank, I will be happy. If I be enough, I will be happy. I believe if we improve our sense of being, the doing and the having take care of themselves automatically. This being is really the container of our consciousness that informs us about who we are and what we possibly can do, what we can create, what we can have. Trying to act from a place of not being makes the doing much more difficult. It's like acting while suspended in midair with your feet not touching the ground. It will be hard to put much will into your actions. Acting outside of our beingness is like trying to act outside of our consciousness. We may be able to do it for a little while if we have a lot of willpower, but we won't be able to sustain it. We will be fighting ourselves, trying to stop and trying to keep going at the same time. One foot on a gas pedal, one foot on a brake, both of them pressed down hard. That's a problem. Maybe the key to storytelling release that I've wrote about before and talked about is changing our view of our being. Our current view of life and ourselves were developed by interpreting our experiences and then assigning meanings. I was driving my car listening to my iPod the other day. On came my voice, and my voice said, "To protect one's family is to be a man. To protect only oneself is to be a boy." We either learn the importance of protecting our families or we don't. The ways divine consciousness cares for our well-being are the ways that we should be caring for ourselves, our families, and others. Our sense of being will be directly related to how we do, which will be directly related to our having. When I was growing up, there were two genders that I was aware of. That meant people had the choice of being male or female. Today I know gender issues are a lot more complicated. However, no matter what gender a person identifies with, they need to be that gender in the most positive, empowered ways to be secure in themselves and in their doingness. Maybe the original categories of male and female will suffice. This leads to other roles that we be, such as sons and daughters, nephews and nieces, grandsons and granddaughters, mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters. How we think and feel about ourselves in these roles will affect our doing and our having, and the value we will be able to bring into the world. Each of the 12 worlds that I talk about regularly, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance, contain the keys to how we developed our sense of being and what may need to be revised. So those keys are available to us. Using the four driving needs of the ego expressed through the personality give a good opportunity to discover how we think and feel about our sense of being in those four areas. Were we able to protect and defend ourselves from criticism, emotional, physical attack? And if not, what did we say about ourselves and others? Were we able to come in first and every competitive contest, every test that we took in grade school and junior high and high school and college, were we always the best? And I know the answer is no, But what did we say to ourselves when we failed to come in first? Did we, could we take the best for ourselves? And when we were not able to, what did we say to ourselves about ourselves? And were we able to maintain control of our possessions, our money, our friends, our family, our status, our property, our power? And when we didn't, what did we say about ourselves as we failed? It's when we failed to meet our expectations or our intentions, or when we failed to communicate effectively, or we just didn't understand what others' words and instructions were, that we run into real problems, all of which were shaped into our sense of self, which is directly related to our doing and our having and the value that we bring to the world. I consider these statements to be the most powerful programming statements. They literally command us to be a certain way. The sentences can be completed with any number of words. The commanding programming statements are, I am, fill in a blank. You are, fill in a blank. He, she, or it is, fill in a blank. We are, fill in a blank. You are, fill in a blank. They are, fill in a blank. Sounds like the regular conjugation of verbs that you and I went through in grade school, or if you were learning a new language. But people think that these statements, such as, I am tired, is only a report on one's own energy level. It's more than that. It is also a command to the subconscious, telling it our state of being and what to create in our body for us. When a person like this stops at a gym on the way home after work, they quickly realize that what they thought of as tiredness was actually a lack of movement of energy. The reality is that a tired person can exercise in order to become energized. Up to that point, a tired person may say, I don't have any energy. But then they exercise and go, wait a minute, how is that possible? They moved energy and then were resupplied with energy. Our state of being consists of numerous programming statements telling us and commanding us to be certain things. Every experience of any significance in which we were doing something, anything, we would have judged ourselves, we would have judged others, we would have judged what we were working on using one or more of those programming statements. Going back 2,000 years, if people had been taught the law of cause and effect, we would know that our statements and judgments about others are interpreted by our subconscious mind to be about us. While we consider ourselves to be different and separate from our neighbor, we are actually more like two drops of water in the ocean. The difference between us and a drop of water is that we are causative through our thoughts, feelings, our words, and the actions we take or don't take. Criticizing our neighbors is exactly like poisoning the water we are both part of. As crude as it sounds, think of a bunch of people peeing in a public swimming pool and not knowing the consequences to themselves or others in the water. Our ego thinks we are the only important individual. Our subconscious knows we are all one. If our doing helps another, it helps us too. Our doing could be the energetic opposite of poisoning the water. We can uplift it as we radiate kindness through our doingness. I often talk about the needs to express ourselves. More accurately, I should be emphasizing that we are translating and expressing the source of life that flows to us, as much as we'll allow, and through us, as much as we'll allow. I guess the question then becomes, What is in charge of your doing? If the ego is in charge, you can expect to meet a lot of resistance from other people because your ego will trigger their ego. Imagine the conflict of two people aggressively trying to satisfy their ego needs of defending the self from criticism or emotional attack, causing us all wanting to come in first and being the best, taking the best for ourselves, and then doing everything possible to hold on to our power, status, money, property, image, influence, etc. You know there's a bunch of conflict involved in all of that. On the other hand, if our highest state of consciousness is guiding our doing, we will focus on balancing our self-interest with the self-interest of others. We will be acting out of brotherly love, and we'll be seeking to do the same things that divine consciousness is doing to care for the well-being of its creations. It will be supporting growth, helping nutrition and nurturing and nourishment, healing, providing protection, fulfillment of need, aligning us with significant, meaningful work, guaranteeing our survival, and giving us the appreciation of rhythm and the law of cause and effect. We have those two choices. Our doing can be driven by our ego, or our doing can be driven by a higher level of awareness, which will be supported by the highest level of awareness. I suggest that we do that. And our value in the world, to ourselves, to our families, will be as high as it possibly can be, because we are aligned with these natural flows, divinely supported. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8. In Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Listen to the level of support that we get in our doing this. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. That's the ocean we are part of, perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. If you want a doing this, expressing divine consciousness would be the right choice. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.